Good morning, world. Good morning, Wisconsin. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. At your host, James J. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We got the band back together. We hope you're being safe out there. Still got some snow coming down. Going to be that way for a while.
Little bit shaken out yet.
Do want to send a big shout out to our friends at Central Home Improvements, doing a great job taking care of our parking lot for us and everything. Appreciate everybody out there. We got some fun stuff to get into this hour, Terry. We got That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day coming up for you in just a little bit. Right now, I want to kick off things with entertainment. And we're going to get into some Oscar stuff and everything in a little bit. Got some fun categories when it comes to that. But I wanted to start off with an interesting note here. Does anybody still out there buy CDs? Time may not be on your side. In 2022, CDs were outsold by vinyl.
Really?
Yeah. And it's the first time that has happened since 1987. 35 years it's been.
You know, I was walking through a store the other day and they had a bunch of old, you know, vinyl, but it's like the old album covers.
Yes.
And I actually had to stop and look at them. Like, I was like, oh, I had that one or I had that. You know, it's kind of fun.
I do the same thing, especially if I'm in a record store and I see them. Yeah, I love it. And this is fascinating to me. Music fans bought more than 41 million units of vinyl compared to 33 million of CDs. Vinyl sales were up 3% from 40 million units in 2021, while CD sales were down 28% from 47 million.
So my husband has a huge stack of albums downstairs. Still, I could probably be selling those, huh?
Yeah.
Or he could be selling those.
Sure.
I'm not suggesting I would do it without permission, but
right.
But he could probably, he's got a lot of them.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
The biggest album on vinyl was Midnights by Taylor Swift, which moved 945,000 copies. Harry's House by Harry Styles was second with 4,800,000.
And neither of those were ever intended for vinyl,
I'm sure. No.
You know what I mean? So that's what's interesting. It's not just the old ones. Like when I'm walking through the store and I see the Grease album, you know, that was an album back in the day. But this is new music put on vinyl.
And I think for a lot of us, we thought, well, the rise of vinyl is our generation's getting older and our parents listen to vinyl, so a nostalgia thing factor. But the main sales they're seeing are from people that weren't even around.
So it doesn't seem to be. So this is a new phenomenon to them. Yes. So there's that. You know, they're excited about it. But, you know, CDs. How many of those do you have?
Oh, my God.
A lot
of them, yes.
I mean, I finally, I don't even know, maybe like a year ago, I just took a huge box of them to Goodwill.
Yeah.
Like a huge box of them. But there, we have a ton.
I think CDs don't get the credit they deserve. They were groundbreaking when we got them, when we first started having CDs and everything.
In music's defense, I mean, so was the cassette when that, you know what I mean? Like when that first came out. But yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of CDs, probably some from my BMG music club.
Oh yeah, I hear you. Yes, yes, definitely. Everybody's got at least one CD from the BMG music. Everybody.
They at least have nine for the penny. And then the three they had to buy. So they at least have 12.
At least have 12, yes. Everybody at least has 12 CDs. I think that's exaggerating either. I think we're actually very accurate on that.
But so then this calls the question, though, hang on to the CDs or ditch the CDs?
Yeah, for me, I haven't been able to get rid of them yet. I know I will eventually, but I haven't been able to get myself to do it just yet. We have a couple of interesting categories when it comes to the Oscars coming up for you, where we'll go over some Oscar numbers for you and some other stuff. But before that, BuzzFeed put together a list of actors who have never been nominated for an Oscar with a lot of surprising names on there.
So not that they've never won, that they've never been nominated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like at number 10 on the list, Oscar Isaac. Fantastic actor, kind of surprising, but I think it's just a matter of time. I think maybe they just didn't want to do it because his name's Oscar.
So I don't think I know who that is. So do you think he's still kind of up and coming? I mean, still
sort of active. Sort
so he may have an opportunity yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, he should. Shame on his parents. I mean, if they knew he was going to be an actor, he should probably use his middle name.
A little too on the nose, yeah. The great Ewan McGregor. That's very surprising to me. Ewan McGregor is one of the greatest actors in the world. I think he has been since I first saw him in Trainspotting, and every movie I've ever seen him in, not only has he only gotten better, but he already started out as one of the best I've seen. Moulin Rouge, I think, is a good example. I would have liked to have seen him nominated for that. He's had a couple of other roles that I think he should have been, but I think mostly it's because he likes to pick these kind of like indie films or out there characters that don't tend to get looked at for nominations, but I don't think it has to do with his skill level. In fact, you know, spoiler alert to people out there, I vote on these things, and rarely does it come down to your skill level. It rarely comes down to that stuff with the Oscars.
If your name is Oscar.
I will say, if you are talking about the Screen Actor Guild Awards, it's a very different thing. That is not so political, not so... you may find this weird to people out there that don't really know much about acting, but there is actually not a ton of ego in acting. There's not a ton of divas in acting. By the time you get to the point where we're all seeing you in a big movie or a TV show or something, you got there not just because of your talent level, but because people liked working with you. People don't like working with divas and that kind of thing. So that diva mentality usually only shows itself when they've gotten so big that they are kind of in a bubble and nobody can really reach them. Like a Russell Crowe, what happened to him is a good example. And I don't like to pick on him necessarily, but he's a prime example. It's happened to Kevin Costner too. Costner got lucky. He got the Yellowstone gig and everything and got a bounce back. But for a long time, people were done with Kevin Costner. That Draft Day movie was one of the last movies he did where people were finally like, take a look at how many directors have cast Costner a second time. How many actors have worked with him a second time. That's a very small list for a reason, because people don't like working with divas. People don't like working with egos. So when it comes to like the Screen Actor Guild Awards, I've always found it, and I know other actors feel similar, it's a chance to kind of show everybody, hey, this is what we're made of. We're collaborators. We're team players. And this is how we show it. We're bringing other people up. Oscars, not so much. Not so much. Bruce Willis is number 8 on this list.
That's weird to me.
Yeah. Again, Sixth Sense. I know people don't like it. Maybe you don't think of it this way.
He's been in a lot of movies.
He's done some serious work. Bruce was a full fledged actor.
That one's strange to me.
Zoe Saldana. She's you may not recognize her because most of her big movies she's wearing makeup. She was in the Guardians movies and wore a lot of green and that kind of thing. Okay. She's very talented. The next one angers me. It genuinely angers me.
Like, should I duck? You throwing stuff?
You never have anything to worry about, but I definitely am angered. Steve Martin, number 6.
That's super weird, too.
Yeah. Now, granted, I understand that comedies don't always traditionally get nominated and everything. I will mention Big with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, but it's not like he was only in one.
Right. You know. Well, and Steve Martin has a movie he did called A Simple Twist of Fate, which was his first kind of serious movie. He directed the movie, and it's legend. It is
seriously
so good.
I don't know if I can watch him in a serious role.
He was very good. Him light serious in a sense, but it's a heavy topic that they hit on pretty early in the movie, and then he ends up adopting a girl and this stuff, and it's just a beautiful story. And he did a fantastic job with it. He can act.
That he's on the list.
Yeah. John Goodman, number 5. A little surprising, too, because John has had such a long career and done serious work. But I love John Goodman.
I'll watch anything John Goodman does.
Anything that man does. Hugh Grant at number 4 on the list. A little surprising just because especially the Academies love English actors. They love celebrating other actors from other parts of the world.
Well, and I think he's... I don't know about his... you know, personality as an actor, but I'm just saying, I think he's pretty well-liked just in general.
Yes.
So that's, yeah.
Hugh Grant, you can see how he's well-liked because he was canceled for a while, or kind of like before we had canceled culture.
Before we did that?
Yeah. He was canceled because of the whole prostitute thing. And that usually is a death sentence. Like, you never come back from that. But not only his talent level is where it is, but people love working with him. After a good 10 years or so, now you see him in movies. He's in a movie coming out from Guy Ritchie and stuff. And
yeah.
He's actually... I think it's actually humbled him and made him a better actor in some ways.
Okay, but isn't that what's supposed to happen?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is. Yeah,
that
is
kind of the point. You learn from it or you don't.
That's actually, maybe we handled that one in the right way, but at the same time, like, I'm not saying I don't understand one bit why anybody would pay another person.
Oh, the decision. Yeah, I agree.
But it's also, you know, not my, our business necessarily. It's the law's business, but it's not necessarily ours. So I that's an interesting one, an interesting case, and interesting to see how that happens going forward. The next time that happens to a celebrity, because it'll happen again. Oh. It'll definitely happen again. I'm just curious of how, if they will be quote unquote canceled right. or not. Number three on the list, Keanu Reeves. I don't think that's very surprising. I love Keanu Reeves. I am a huge fan of him, and I think he's a way better actor than most people give him credit for. But I don't think anybody would be shocked to hear that Keanu Reeves has not been nominated for an
Oscar. Not shocked, but I do like it. Like in, what was it, Point Break?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like that movie or Friday Night Lights?
No, not Friday Night Lights,
but what's the football? Anyway, there's a football movie he's
the
in.
Replacements.
With
Gene Hackman.
That's exactly right. Yes. But you know what I mean? Like, he's good enough. I mean,
To that, like bringing up a movie like that, Gene Hackman talks about it in interviews. He was blown away by Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves was training with actual quarterbacks to play that part. Yeah. Like, he's a bona fide actor. He has a monotone delivery, and he kind of gets typecast as these roles, and he excels at them so well that I think that he kind of has been pigeonholed a bit. But, you know, you won't hear him complain, and he's had a great career.
But I also don't know that I'd put him in the same category. And I'm completely a novice, but I don't know that I put him in the same category with some of these others.
Kurt Russell, number one on this list, and that is surprising. Kurt Russell, again, one of these bona fide actors who
I
can
like
do
Kurt
it all.
Russell.
And I'm a big fan of Kurt Russell. Love Kurt Russell. At number 9,442 on the list, James J. Maloff. Not as surprising. Not surprising at all.
Wait, you made it out of like the thousands.
I'm pretty proud of that. Pretty proud. 9,442, not bad.
There's plenty of time.
Yep, there's time. I keep telling myself. No true country songs are up for best original song at the Oscars this Sunday. The only one that's even close is Applause from Diana Warren from Tell It Like a Woman. She's been nominated 14 times and never won. One of those 14 nods was for Trisha Yearwood's How Do I Live from the movie Con Air in 1998. So country artists don't always get snubbed, but here are a few more songs that have been nominated over the years from country stars that were nominated. So this list is 10 country songs that have been nominated for Oscars.
Okay.
It's kind of a cool list. I think it's kind of interesting. Number one, 9 to 5 from Dolly Parton. It lost to the song Fame from 1981.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Does it say who they were up against?
Yeah.
So, okay, I can kind of see that.
Oh,
I mean,
because
the song Fame, you know what I mean? Like, I can see why she took second, so to speak.
Yeah. And I could see why both things. I could see why it was nominated and why it kind of came in second to Fame.
Yeah, me too.
Fame was huge.
Yeah.
On the Road Again by Willie Nelson. It was nominated for Honeysuckle Rose that same year. It doesn't tell me who, though, on that one. Traveling Through, another Dolly song. It was up for an Oscar for the movie Transamerica in 2005.
Oh, really? I'm not even familiar with that song.
Mm. This one I remember, a great one. I'm a big fan of Ryan Bingham. The Weary Kind by Ryan Bingham and T-Bone Burnett. A big fan of both of those guys. It was in the Jeff Bridges movie Crazy Heart and won the Oscar in 2010. And the same Ryan Bingham who he plays Walker on Yellowstone, I guess. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't even know he acted. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
I didn't realize that.
Mm. He is one of my, I really, really love his singing and songwriting. His song, his voice is awesome. Like he helped Jeff Bridges get an Oscar, so I'll always be a fan.
But so when that character Walker first came on Yellowstone, he arrived with his guitar.
You never know. Yeah. Especially if he's not, you don't recognize the face and stuff. I'm Not Gonna Miss You by Glenn Campbell. That was nominated in 2015. The song True Grit, which he sang, was also up for an Oscar back in 1970.
Interesting. Don't you think anything Glenn Campbell should just win?
He got one of those voices. Got one of those deliveries, yeah. Coming Home, performed by Gwyneth Paltrow in the 2010 movie Country Strong. Now, I seem to remember a lot of people being mad about that, like not liking her performance, not liking her doing country.
Well, I don't recall it at all. Like when you're saying it right now, I don't even remember it happening. But my gut, when you said Gwyneth Paltrow, I'm like, what is she doing country? So I guess I'm on that camp.
The Faith Hill song, There You'll Be, it's another one by Diane Warren. It was nominated for Pearl Harbor in 2002.
That's a great song.
Yeah. When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings from the Ballad of Buster Scruggs, it lost to Shallow, A Star Is Born from 2019.
So, okay, I can see that too. Mm. Because A Star Was Born, I mean, that was...
It was huge. It was another huge, huge one. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I can see that, but both really good songs.
Mm. The Reba McEntire song, Somehow You Do, which was also written by Diane Warren. It was up for an Oscar last year, but lost to Billie Eilish's theme from the James Bond movie, No Time to Die.
Again.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Look at the popularity of James Bond movies.
Yeah, and the popularity of a Billie Eilish, you know, that kind of thing. It's almost understandable. But this is one of the things that I do think is still cool about the Oscars. And I do think that is still unique about the award show. That when you are nominated for an Oscar, it still means something. I can't tell you the doors it opens, not just for actors, but for editors, for writers, for musicians. It still does hold some weight. I don't know how much longer that's going to last, but if you're nominated for an Oscar, you can build a career off of that.
And what are they? And are they nominating 4 or 6? Do you know?
I think it's 6.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, you know, when you watch it on TV and they read through them, it seems like it's more than 4. So it must be, I don't know, must be 6.
I'm pretty sure it's 6. I'll tell you this. They're definitely not going down. Like they used to be when we were kids, there was like 4 movies nominated for Best Picture. Now it's 10. You know, they're not going to be lowering the number anytime soon on any of these things. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we are going to get into a fun one that we got lined up here about Oscar facts. And then I want to get to touch on something Tim McGraw did that I think is really cool, and I want to put it in our good stories of the day. Got that coming up for you right after this break on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you, and we're going to dive into some fun stuff right now, just extending our entertainment segment just a little longer. The 95th Academy Awards air this Sunday, 95. That is kind of cool.
Aren't we entertainment for 3 hours?
What's that?
I said, aren't we entertainment for 3 hours?
We sure are. We sure are. Nicely done. 95. That's kind of impressive
cool.
to me. That is kind of cool. So here are some stats to help you get into it, get interested into the event, maybe. Maybe it'll get you to watch. Maybe not. $58.6 million. That is the total cost of this ceremony. That does not make me want to watch it. That's not.
That is insane.
That's insane. That is ridiculous. That you could actually make a movie for that.
How many people do you think attend?
Ooh.
I mean, where do they do this one?
This one, I believe, is in California.
Okay, so this one isn't like one of the ones at the MGM.
No, I don't think so.
I'm just thinking about, because, you know, everybody that comes gets a, like,
oh yeah,
like $1,000 goodie bag, yes, you know, like all of that kind of stuff. So. It all adds up fast, but holy cow.
Tell you, from what you hear about those things, it's worth it to go just for the gift bag.
Yeah.
Like $24,700. That is the cost of the 50,000 square foot red carpet. That's just the red carpet alone is what it costs.
We should go in the red carpet making business.
Yeah, yeah. $10 million. That's the cost of an A-list actress's ensemble. Like her whole thing. Earrings, dress, shoes, all of that. $10 million. My God. And they wonder why people don't like these award shows
and
people feel like they no connection to these people.
For some of those, though, they call out the designer, right? Mm-hmm. Like they'll be like, oh, where, you know, when they walk the red carpet. So then sometimes I wonder, are they actually buying those dresses or are they just wearing them that night?
The majority of them just
to
wear
the
them
benefit
that night.
Of the of the designer. So.
I think like even like I've heard like actors like Charlize Theron and like big names like that have been had a long career and she's like, oh no, I'll never buy this. Like I just wearing it for the night.
I mean, though, that dead goose thing. Way that one, probably she bought.
Probably yeah. Bjork probably bought that one. Yeah, probably yours. 28% share, 28%. That's the share of this year's nominees who are women. It's the lowest in 4 years. Again, another thing that the Academy has been doing for a very long time that people are not a fan of.
I said goose. It was a swan.
Oh, it was a swan. That's
Wasn't
right.
It
was a swan.
Anyway,
it was.
Sorry.
You're right. Yeah.
But that is weird, the how low that percentage, that nomination percentage is. I mean, not that it has to be balanced, because then you know it's fake.
Right, right.
If it was 50-50 or even like 45-55, you know it's forced.
Yes. But the idea that it's insane, especially nowadays, there are so many more women in directing, in editing, in special effects. There are so many more opportunities. There's so many like ways to get these. There's no it's almost impossible to do that unless there is some bias.
Yeah.
$80,000. That is the cost of a couple to attend the Vanity Fair after party.
Oh, that's it?
Just 80 grand? I got that right on me, right here. Yeah, that's no
for
problem.
For an after party.
My God. $163 million. That is the annual Oscar boost to the LA's economy.
I could see that.
Yeah, yeah. 40%. Golden Globe's 10-year record of predicting the Oscars for Best Picture. They are 40% right on that. This year, the Globe went to The Fabelmans, Steven Spielberg's most recent movie. 192 minutes. That is the running time of this year's longest Best Picture nominee, Avatar: The Way of Water. Gone with the Wind is the longest Best Picture winner ever at 238 minutes.
Hmm. Interesting.
195 mil. That is the cost of a 30-second ad during the Oscars. That's 72% less than the Super Bowl.
That's kind of crazy.
That is huge drop off. That's huge.
But that's still obnoxious.
It's still insane, yeah. 220 minutes. That's the length of last year's Oscars. That's 3 hours and 40 minutes.
That's too long.
Way too long. Way too long.
Makes the $80,000 after party much more appealing.
Yeah. Like, let's get to the after party. Let's wrap this up. 16.6 million. That is the average viewers for last year's Oscars. That was up 58% from a record low in 2021.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was thinking the low was somewhere around, you know, 2020, 2021. So,
and everybody wants to say that's because of the slap. Nobody knew that was going to happen. Like, people were just viewing and watching it. I don't think that's fair. Like,
yeah.
I know we like to dog on the Oscars and everything. I do too. But I mean, at a certain point, you know, you can't be doing it when it's not factual and everything.
True.
People were tuning in that year or last year, and I'm very curious to see how many people will tune in this year with Jimmy Kimmel hosting and not the Oscar talk. I mean, not the slap talk. I think getting over this, like, hey, we just want to move past this.
Yeah.
And the only way to move past it is get another one in and another one in and just keep the farther we get away from that moment.
Well, yeah. And sometimes that's the only thing that can, right? It's time.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You just.
And zero. That is the number of this year's acting nominees who were nominated last year. That is incredibly rare.
That's very weird.
Not one nominee from last year is nominated this year. That's really weird.
That's very interesting.
It also speaks to something the Academy is working to do, and I will give them credit for that. They are trying to be more inclusive. They are working very hard to do that. You can't do that overnight, and it's awfully hard to do that when you have the same people in the room.
True.
You know, if you don't include people of these different things, you're never going to have inclusion. You're never going to, like, people keep talking about this with the NFL and how we make the NFL more inclusive. How do we make the NFL, the hiring practices better and everything? And there are a lot of different ways that people are trying to do that, and I champion them trying to do it, but it's never going to change until you have owners who are right. Of a different race, of a different creed, and this kind of thing. And I don't think, while it's very quick, like, as soon as you see something that seems racism or racist, however you feel inside, people feel like they have to, like, get on this and jump on it and be like, oh, that's wrong, and this and everything. And I want us to choose our battles smartly. Because not everything is that. I'm not saying that the NFL, like, there is some cause and effect there. Some of that is racial profiling. Some of it is racism. Absolutely. But I have a hard time believing if you take 100 times of NFL coaches being hired, sometimes it's nepotism. Sometimes it's who you know. Sometimes it is an idea of, well, this person knows my quarterback, so I'm bringing them in so I can get the quarterback. It's not always. Be smart about this. There is racial stuff going on. Absolutely. 1,000%. If you don't think there is, you're a fool. You're an absolute fool if you think that there is not stuff going on. And, like, in just talking about the NFL or the Oscars or this kind of thing, if you think there isn't racial profiling or racism going on, I've seen it for myself. I've had it done to me. I am telling you it happens, let alone all the other examples we can point to in life that has happened. But it doesn't mean it happens every single time. Sometimes it is just, I'm not tall enough for the role, so this person got the role over me. Or this person fits our program better as far as the type of coaching, the type of coach they are, and the offensive play system they have. We got to be smarter about this, because we're never going to make any ground on this if all we do is just bark, bark, bark on either side of the aisle or each side of the conversation.
And probably the problem, the big part of the problem is just all the bandwagoners, right? Like,
yes.
you don't make your own informed decision or thought about something. You just jump on because somebody else does. You know, when you said zero or 0% or whatever it was, I thought it was going to be number of reporters from WFHR that will be present at the Oscars. That's what I thought you were going to say.
It's same number. Same number. We'll take a break right here. We're going to get to Melissa's news. A little bit later, we'll have that Tim McGraw's story, because I'll put that in our good stories of the day, because it is a good one. That's coming up, but we can't get to that before some That Ain't Right stuff. So we'll have that coming up for you as well, and plenty more on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Oh, you just got Rickrolled, everybody. You just got Rickrolled. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. If you all will excuse me for a second, I have to go into the other studio to smack my producer. I have to.
I think I'm going to beat you there. Which one of us can get there first?
Yeah, yeah. Well done, Seth. You Rickrolled us. Seth Rickrolled
us. We're gunning for you, Seth.
I have to. I will say one thing that I've always admired, because I did not like this song. I was not a fan of Rick Astley or anything. But Rick Astley doesn't like. He doesn't care. Like he's done a really. He's very self-deprecating about this stuff. I always admire that when an artist can be that way about things. We got some That Ain't Right stories for you, everybody, and we've been trying to do a little bit these a little differently, not just kind of focusing on one individual and picking on them, kind of doing these more of a subject matter. And here are 12 things that scream I have no life.
It is
the ultimate That Ain't Right story, possibly. People on social media are sharing examples of things that seem to scream I have no life. And here are some of them. Basically, you could just pretty much look at my social media pages. That's one way of doing it. Otherwise, nonstop complaining about other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. Yeah. Nobody likes that. Nobody appreciates that.
And you know what's funny? And my gut like reaction to that or response to that is always like, get a hobby.
Yes.
Like, why is this your hobby?
Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of no life, right? Yeah, fair enough.
I feel very similar to the type of person that all they ever have to say is bringing other people down. Like, we all people watch and we all have our comments from here and there and stuff.
But or experiences that, yes. But why, yeah.
But the person, like, that's all their dialogue is, that's it. Yeah, it's a little not much. Posting everything about your personal business and drama on social media, and more specifically the Facebook mom groups is what they're saying here.
We all know. You know exactly who in your Facebook friends is that person.
A couple of things
and then,
popped up.
Yeah. And then you might unfriend them or like block them for a while or whatever, and then
snooze. Or whatever that
whatever it
is.
Yeah. But I mean, but if you unfriended them before we had snooze, then it was like 2 weeks later, you get another friend request from them. Like,
yes,
they're like,
yes.
Well, how did that, you know, how did we not be friends? I'm like, oh, I clicked the button.
Did you ever, because I actually have had this happen where like a person or two were deleted on my profile. And I'm like, I did not do that. I don't know how that happened. But I have done it before. Like, there was a long time ago. But I've done it before where like, oh, no, what happened? I didn't know. How did you get deleted? I didn't even know that happened.
Because you exhaust me.
Yeah, you exhaust me. Yes, that's why it happened. The person at work who monitors how often people are at their computer. Yeah, I've never really dealt with that one, but I also haven't worked in a whole lot of that industry, so. People who spend all day arguing with strangers on Facebook or bots on Twitter, or simply being on social media all the time.
Yeah, like, okay, just as an example, let's say you're looking at something local, like the local newspaper.
Yeah.
And you always have that, well, they have the top fan badge, but you always have like those trollers, and they have nothing, and they are local people though.
Yeah.
But they have absolutely not a single thing to say. That, why say anything?
Yeah. To those individuals out there, you are keyboard cowards. You are keyboard cowards.
Like, I just sit there, but then sometimes it's entertainment.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. This is the dirty secret about the whole comment section.
I can't wait to go see what they said about this.
And I will never understand. I see this all the time, especially on Twitter. These people who are arguing with clearly bots. It's clearly a bot. And they're arguing with them. Like, you realize you're arguing with a computer. Which the only thing that's a little bit sillier than that, or a little bit higher or lower on the list, is arguing with a complete stranger. Like, you have no idea who this person is. Yeah. You'll never see them in real life. You would live on two different sets of the world. Like, what do you care what they think?
Yes.
Like, just keep moving on with your day. Like,
exactly.
It's not going to. It only slows your day down if you let it. Only you can add and take from your cup. You can only. You're the only one that gets power. You have the power of that. being way too invested in the lives of reality TV stars. My God, yes. Can this could end any day now for me.
Yeah. I've never been a reality TV fan.
I've never understood that part either. The idea of, you realize this is not real people. I mean, these aren't real, these are real people, but not real TV. It's not really reality TV. This is scripted stuff.
Yeah, like Big Brother, you really think that these random people are just living together? I mean, I don't know.
Maybe I'm being foolish here, but I have way too much like respect for my fellow human beings to believe that so many people are that full. Like, if you're watching it and you know it's scripted, that's fine. I have no problem. If it entertains you, go for it. More power to you. But if you don't, if you're one of these people watching it and you're shocked when you hear,
but like, they're that hoodwinked? Like,
yeah,
really?
Like, oh, man.
Or what, like, is what is that? Oh, like Naked and Alone. Like, you think that there's just, like, coincidentally there was a TV camera?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, I mean, really?
I don't know. I used to laugh because I'd overhear people talking about, like, The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, you know, like, at work. And they were just like, oh, no, no, no. I'm like, this is not
people
real.
People get so invested,
like,
in
so
these,
in it.
And especially the dating shows. And that one may boggle me more than any other because it's... you're not in this situation. You're not dating the person. You're not, what are you doing? Why are you getting so, like, I've seen people cry over decisions that a bachelor made or something like that. I'm like, who am I dating? Who am I, like, what is going on here? And again, to each their own. Entertainment is entertainment. If it entertains you, I'm not going to tell you not to watch it. Just, I hope that you're going into it understanding even The Bachelor
that
or any of these shows.
Reality TV is not real.
Yes. It is quote unquote reality TV.
Yeah.
It's just a genre. It's not an actual reality TV. Being overly emotionally invested in the British royal family. That's another one. Yeah. It's very similar to the reality TV star thing. Playing thousands of hours of a single $20 indie game on stream, or the games that we can download on our phone, the quote unquote free games that aren't free.
That you have to watch all those ads for.
Yeah, yeah. Only ever talking about your job. That's one that I've actually worried about myself. Like, I was actually talking about this with my daughter last night, where I think the younger generation, like her age, like 26, like those groups, you know, and stuff, they seem to have such a better handle on this. I talk about it with Steph all the time. Steph's one of the hardest workers I know, and she does such a great job at this job. But when she's done, she's done. She's going to take her break. She's going to have her weekend and everything. And I admire that. I wish to do that. I actually look up to that in some ways because I think it's a perfect balance. She gets her job done. She gets everything done. She's accessible if need be in an emergency or something like that, but overall, that's, she has a separation there. My daughter is very similar to that, and that generation seems to have that down really well. I feel like, and I'm not putting this on anybody else, I feel like myself, I went a little, especially about 7-8 years ago, I went really crazy work-wise, and that became my identity pretty much. And like now, I think about it, I'm like, well, if they're putting a monologue, I'm ending my career, my life here and everything, it's like, James, he talked a lot of acting. Okay, wait, that's all anybody knows about me? That's all that, I don't want that to be the case. Like, on my tombstone, he acted. Like, that's it? Like, I don't want that. Like, the idea.
No nomination.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
yes. Zero knobs, like right at the bottom of it. They don't even have, like, from 1977 to so on or anything. It's just that, zero nominations. Now I kind of want that. That's hilarious. I think that this separation, like, there's a lot of us that all we have to talk about is our jobs because we've identified with our jobs so much. We've invested so much of our time and our energy and into our job.
And we spend the most of our waking hours.
Yeah.
When you're of working age, right? Like, hopefully, and maybe that's the problem. We need to get to the point where, you know, you're retired and you're maybe enjoying a little bit more of life and get a hobby.
Yes, yes. Well, and how many of us are going to be able to retire? You know, I mean, so are we even going to get to
what
that
will
point?
It look like, right?
What will it look like? Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Working tons of hours and bragging about it. Bragging in general. Can we just say bragging in general online? It's hit its mark. It's done. There's very few times in life where you can brag and get away with it. While at the same time, I encourage people to, you know, be proud of their achievements. I feel like most times, if you win an award, if you do something great, other people are going to mention it. Other people are going to talk about it. Let them talk about it.
I think you can brag about, like, kids, grandkids,
absolutely,
like that way.
Yes.
But I agree with you. Like, the self, yeah.
Self-grandizing. Like social media has, it was always something that annoyed me. Social media has made it where it is just like, I cringe at it. Like that kind of thing. It's just a little much. Hanging out at work after you're off. That could be.
So it depends on your environment.
Yeah, definitely. Being involved with a homeowner association. Okay. What? And one person suggested, like going into your kid's room or something like that. Like that's one that screams that you don't have a life. Apparently, I don't know about that. I would say that can also be a concern of worrying about your kid. Other comments implied that any judgment in this debate is also problematic. Making fun of other people's hobbies and how they spend their time is also something that could show that maybe you don't have much of a life if you're picking out other people for not having a life.
And maybe so, but...
That's funny. That's actually kind of funny. That's not bad.
It's the catch-22, right?
Yes, yes. Hopefully any of these things, because I imagine that a lot of us can, oh, I'm a little of this, or I'm a little of that, maybe. So maybe that'll tell us. I don't think that it means that you don't have a life. Maybe it just means that you should get a hobby. Maybe you should get out a little bit more, and it's an eye-opener for you.
And remember when Get a Life was a thing? I mean, yes, remember? Yes. That was like a thing we used to say.
That was
maybe we
actual,
should say like, it more.
I think we may need to. I think you might be right about that, Terry. We are going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back with That Ain't Right or some good stories of the day, because that was our That Ain't Right story. So we got some good stuff coming up for you, good stories of the day. We're also going to get an update from our friends at the United Way and plenty more coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you, and a great show today, Terry. It's been a lot of fun. And I think we got some really good stuff to wrap up on and put people into the weekend with a good vibe. And the next time you hear somebody say, shut up and dribble, or shut up and sing, or something like that, I want you to remember my good friend Tim McGraw. If you have a minute, this is a powerful story. A 37-year-old Florida man named Michael Hugo was diagnosed with stage 4 glioblastoma, which is the most aggressive type of brain cancer. He's the father of two young daughters, ages 6 and 7, and in a video posted last month on Facebook, he had one special wish. Quote, my dream is to be with my little girls for their wedding and be there dancing with them. But statistically, it's going to be tough. One of my goals is to sing a duet of My Little Girl with Tim McGraw and do a video to play at their wedding.
Ugh, you're going to make me cry.
So if I'm not there, I'm with you on this. So if I'm not there, at least I can be a part of the wonderful day. Word got back to Tim, and he went all in. He shared a video of himself with his whole family saying, hi guys, I'm here with the Hugo family. I'm glad we're here together, and we're going to make this happen. We're going to work this out. He added in his caption, thanks to everyone who started this video and tagged me in the comments. Mike is saving the video for his daughter's future weddings with a special thing to be what a special thing to be a part of. Mike's wife, Vanessa, posted this last Saturday. The past week, Tim McGraw flew her family out to Nashville. His team arranged for a camera crew to film Michael dancing outside at the Opry with our daughters and his mom. They then set up a special meeting with Michael and Tim to sing My Little Girl for our girls. The footage will be compiled into a video tribute to the whole family to keep. There's no doubt Mike's story hit home with Tim. His dad, Tug McGraw, passed away from the same kind of brain cancer. And I think that there is some symmetry in life. There is some beauty in life when you allow it to see it. And here, Tim McGraw is a guy that he didn't have to do this, didn't have to pay attention to any of this stuff. He's got enough public sway and enough clout with a fan base and everything that if he didn't do this, he's not going to lose fans or anything like that. Nobody would be mad at him for that. But he took it on himself to take time out of his personal life to be a part of somebody else's life.
Isn't that cool? I can finally talk now.
Woo! It's a beautiful story.
That is really awesome.
As a side note, don't come out of a night after having a deep, long conversation with your daughter and not pre-read a story like that. Man, that hit me. That's beautiful.
That's really awesome.
Well done, sir. Well done. Everybody that was a part of that situation, well done. Very, very nicely done by you, Mr. McGraw. Have you heard about the new Florida Explorer Men's Only Edition?
What?
It's not a real thing. It's not a real thing, but they posted an ad for it yesterday for or the other day for International Women's Day, and it's narrated by Bryan Cranston, who we are celebrating in Misty's Menu and everything, and you can check it out on YouTube. It's actually a really cool ad. I encourage people to check it out because it's a fake version of their SUV with none of the features that women invented. So no heater, no turn signals, no brake lights, no rearview mirror, no windshield wipers, and no GPS.
That is hilarious.
Awesome. Such a smart ad. Such a smart ad.
I love that.
It's really cool. And yeah, for, spoiler alert to people that did not know, women invented all of those things I just mentioned.
That's really cool.
Yeah. A photo of a 98-year-old woman in Kentucky has been making the rounds after she met her first great-great-great-great-grandkid last month. She already had 230 great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren.
Yes, I saw the picture of that. That blew me away. There were seven generations on the picture. But that... that is so cool. I'm guessing she doesn't do Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say.
Yeah. Like, look, everybody's getting a hug. Everybody's getting a hug.
But
that's it.
It's super sweet.
That is a really cool thing.
That is crazy.
I wasn't sure if I was going to say this or not. I'm being honest with everybody. At first, I thought it was like a hoax or like, oh they yeah. can't be real. Like, it was digitally done. No, that was a real story.
So, and I forget, she had 11 or 12 children. And yeah. It said she was pregnant. I think she has 12. And she was 12. Pregnant for 16 years, basically,
yeah.
Straight.
Basically, yeah. My God.
Pass.
Yeah, yeah. That's a superhero
but
right
super,
there.
Super sweet picture if you have a chance to find it.
A landlord in upstate New York recently sold an apartment building and got $58,000 less than he could have because he insisted the next owner take care of a 93-year-old resident who was a Holocaust survivor. Dang it.
And they better...
no, another one.
They better stay good on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His name is Alice Schumann. Her name is Alice Schumann. She lived there for 60 years and was only paying $200 a month when everyone else paid $2,000. The guy who bought the place agreed to keep her rent the same. And the old landlord had been taking her to the store and bank once a month, plus doctor appointments. So the new landlord took that over as well.
Could you imagine how hard it was for him to sell? You know what I mean? For whatever reason, he needed to or chose to, and that's okay. But can you imagine how hard that decision was?
Yeah. A few months later, she had a medical issue, and he had to kick down her door to get her to the hospital. At that point, doctors said she couldn't be on her own anymore. But instead of leaving things up to the state, he got a lawyer, became her legal guardian, and got her into a nice nursing home.
Cool.
Then he visits her. He visits her almost every day, and he said he will almost every day for the rest of her life. Sadly, she passed away back in January, but he was right there holding her hand the whole time.
Very cool.
Ah, that's beautiful.
You know, I think there's a lot of those stories. Maybe not the selling of the apartment building. I get that's maybe, but you know, there's a lot of that happens, and we don't give it enough attention.
No. There's too often in life where we are so quick to with any of these positions, especially things like landlords and attorneys or celebrities or any of these things. We got to get better, and this is on all of us as a society, to not being so quick to pull people down. We're so quick to do that.
And we all have an elderly person in our life that needs somebody on some level. You know, they maybe don't need you to be their guardian, but they need support and they need love and they need care. And it's on us to do that.
It's part of this whole thing that you maybe we didn't agree upon, but you are a part of. You are a part of the human society. You are part of the human race. And part of the deal is we help each other. We take care of each other. You have the opportunity to do that. Please take it. Terry, I wanted to wrap up talking a little bit about the United Way. And some of the great things you guys are doing over there. I know that you got a big event coming up.
Yes, so we've got a few events on the calendar. We do have next week, Tuesday, is our Power of the Purse. This is our annual event of Women United to raise funds for early grade learning and literacy. So that is happening at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30 on Tuesday. You can get tickets at the United Way office, or even easier, you can get tickets online at uwswac.org. We also have coming up on April 12th is our annual Shred Day event, and we'll be getting you more information about that. But that is at Prevail Bank here in town in the morning. So start gathering up your sensitive documents that you might need to have shredded, because you can come and have that done. And then we're taking teams for United We Can. So that event is June 15th. Getting people people and teams on board to help out with that. And of course, if you have not yet filed your taxes, you can do that yes. at our website. And if your household income was under $70,000, it's free.
Yeah, I cannot encourage you enough to use My Free Taxes. It's a great website, great way they do that. You mentioned the shredding
Shred
event.
Day, yep.
Shred Day. That's another sign of spring to me. That's
right?
Another,
I know.
As you said that, I thought of spring right away.
I know. So hustle up those documents. You need to have safely disposed of.
Mm-hmm. And just as a note, if you are curious about being able to see some of those purses for the Power of the Purse event that are online, that online auction is open now, I see.
Yes, so that's kinda cool. We have 26 purses for the event. There's 4 available online. So it's a really small sneak peek, but we do encourage you to check that out. You can find that by visiting uwswac.org, and you can click on online auction.
Great hanging out with you. Thank you so much for helping us get everybody ready for the week. And Terry, you have a good one.
You too.
And we'll have more morning show for you next week. Be listening for that. Coming up, Morning Magazine here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.